So my dad has been shot 8 or 9 times.
What?
Different times?
Yep.
Or like...
I would say they're different bullets. But like once was himself, you know what I mean? Like in a deer stand, hit a pistol, shot him in the back of the leg.
Oh my God.
So,
how many separate incidents?
He's like 50
several.
Cent.
Yeah, right. It is truly. So
you
when
got
I say he's
so
a survivor,
much cooler just now.
I'm telling my dad is.
No, he didn't. His dad did.
Oh, that's right.
All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
We are live.
Oh, hi.
We're on. Welcome to our world.
Welcome
I'm Adam.
Welcome to our world. I'm Jess.
We are here tonight with Shannon Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, avid listener.
recommendation from one of our previous interviews.
It is. David Brosso said when we asked him who's someone that you should know, he said Shannon Lewandowski. So he is here tonight with us. Shannon, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey.
Yeah, excited to be here. It's a nice fire you built.
Thank you. Oh. The studio has an upgrade. We've lost the cicadas and we've picked up a fire courtesy of Mobile on the Run.
Oh,
$40 worth of 3 pieces of wood.
Well, so. It's debated in this household if you make good fires. So,
what does that look like?
Proof's in the pudding.
What's it look like?
Solid.
Looks
solid build.
It looks like a start.
Jess was an hour late, so I've had plenty of time to build this fire.
I wasn't an hour late. I just wasn't on time. It's fine.
Okay. Jess, I'm gonna allow you the honors.
Shannon, I think I know, like. Zero about you. So I'm going to ask you our trademark question of who the hell do you think you are?
That's a wonderful question. And I knew it was coming, but I would not allow myself to prepare an answer. Just so you know.
Good.
I'm a simple, yet, I guess... I don't know. I won't call myself complex, but very spread out, engaged in a lot of different things.
Layered.
Layered.
I would call you layered.
I like that. Layered individual.
Like a parfait.
Getting delicious here.
Okay. I'm a dad. I'm a hockey player. I'm a planner. I'm a problem solver.
Cool.
I'm fun. I love connecting people, love meeting, love relationships. I have a lot of great ones.
Awesome.
I'm a learner, right? Always learning.
You're a hockey coach too, right?
Yeah, I coach 2 teams currently.
Woo, boy.
I coach my son's 8U team. And David and I coach the Ladue varsity hockey team.
Okay.
High school.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's our 5th season.
So did it start because one of you had kids in the
Nope. So a good friend of mine and other hockey buddy, John Hodgins. John ran the team for 8 or 9 years until both his boys went through there. And he reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I'm going to be stepping down next season. And you came to mind to be a head coach. And I had 2 boys at home that were like 3 and 1,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, that can't, you know, like that's an honor. Really appreciate
right.
that. But I cannot head coach. Connected him with a few other people I thought would be a good fit. Not realizing that David's son was going to Ladue Elementary at the time. So it came to David, and then David called me and was like, hey, like, I'm going to head coach only if you're my assistant.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I was like, hell yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's really rewarding to do that with. Were you friends at the time?
We were, it definitely has brought us closer.
Cool.
Yeah, but we were friends. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet that's fun.
It's super fun and you know, an opportunity to give back to a game that has given both of us so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say, I coaching my 7-year-old is awesome, unbelievable. Coaching high school kids is a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Just because you don't, yeah, just yeah. It is.
Level of competition.
Level of competition. Yeah. You can cuss on the ice. Right. You know.
I'm sure the mindset conversations are a little different.
Yeah, it's not as much skill development as it is, you know, systems and plays and things like that, as opposed to, you know, 7-8-year-olds, you're teaching them how to stop both ways. And it's a lot of very, very fundamentals of the game, which is just different. And things that I don't necessarily remember learning, right? It just kind of come natural now. I jump on the ice and
it
works. Right. Yeah. So just a different thing, but it's, cool. I love it. It's very exciting. We've been very successful. We went to a state championship. We lost 3-2 three seasons ago. The last two seasons, we've been in the Challenge Cup, which is the top 12 teams in the area, the metro area, which is filled with a lot of the Catholic schools that, you know, don't have boundaries based on zip codes or area codes or school districts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, great teams and great organizations. But we're kind of limited to what we have, what goes to our school, and been really proud of what we've been able to accomplish. So it's cool. Been a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Could you describe what you do for work?
Yeah, I'm a financial planner. So I've been a planner now for over 8 years.
Okay.
Work with a lot of business owners, helping them really ultimately just make good decisions with money.
Okay.
I have a business partner named Rachel. We make a really, really good team. We've worked together. I was in the mortgage business for 9 years prior to that.
Okay.
So it's actually how I met David.
Oh, nice.
Through hockey, but also through, through real estate and lending. Yeah.
Right.
So, but we were partners in that business. And then now as planners, we really, we just can be cheesy, but complete each other, right? You know, I really enjoy the relationship side, the business development side, that part of things. And she's very detail oriented and makes sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And you need both in our business.
Yeah.
You know, we make a really good team, good fit that way.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
You touched on it a little bit, but if you could dive in and let us know who's in your world.
Who is in my world? There's a lot of people in my world, but so I have a fiance, Mary Frances, who you both know.
She's great. She's amazing.
Yep.
I don't see her enough.
Yeah. You should call her.
I should
do. But no, she's absolutely amazing, and we're getting married December 28th.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. I didn't know it was that soon.
It's that soon.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're very excited. This could be before or after we hear this, right?
I hope it's before. if it's after, congratulations.
Right, yeah,
it was beautiful. Mary Frances, she looked beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. She's amazing, and we're super excited, and she's been a blessing in my life, and so that's great. I'm an only child, so my parents are both alive. They'll be celebrating 50 years in May. This coming year, which is incredible, right? So they're great, great people. I have two boys that are 9 and 7, Kelly and Reed, and both amazing people. I have a close circuit of friends that I spend a lot of time with. I still play hockey every Tuesday morning with a great group of guys that we've connected over the past couple of years and really have gotten close to.
Cool.
Lozy and I got close because of that.
Okay.
You know, he was coming out skating when his alarm would go off. He liked to sleep in, wouldn't be able to get up. So.
Shocker.
Yeah. great, great group of guys, and that's a lot of fun. I played this morning.
Nice.
So, we play at 6:30 a.m. at Webster Ice Rink.
Cool.
That's who's in my world.
Okay.
Nice.
You two are in my world tonight.
Now we are.
We are in your world.
And you're in ours, which is scary for you.
Right.
what would you say the kind of things that you're passionate about?
I'm passionate about enjoying life.
Cool.
I definitely believe in a work-life balance, right? I am in my field because this is what I was meant to do. And by design, I create my own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't miss anything. I still make time for my kids. If they're homesick from school or they have something going on where I need to be there or a field trip, I can go.
That's awesome.
That's really neat, right? Mm-hmm. I enjoy playing golf, and so I try to make during golf season, I try to play once a week.
Cool.
And that's important to me. It's something I enjoy doing, something I'm passionate about. And sure. So it's in my life. I make sure that it's by that's design.
Great.
You know,
yeah.
I still play hockey. I coach hockey. Those are things I want in my life, and they're there. So, yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
I've gotten to know you over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think layered is the right way to describe you. You do a lot in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
What's the energy source? Are you just caffeinated, or is it just passion? Is it just pure that I run at a high level anyways? As someone that also, I think Jess too, we run at a pretty, with our motor runs pretty high, like,
yours runs higher than mine for sure.
Yeah.
I'm like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's passion. It's just, even when I've had some rough times in my life, but even during those times, like I knew there was another day to go enjoy, and you know what I mean? It's just always wanting, I wouldn't say it's more, right? Because it's the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And so just always trying to see the good. I give my dad a lot of credit. He instilled something in me at a very young age that I live by, and that's don't sweat over things that are out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped me so much, because I think people can get wrapped up in things that, you know, again, that is nothing you can control. It either happened or it's something that,
right,
can control,
but you
it.
Can sweat it, or you can let it ruin your day or your week or your month or your
right.
You know what I mean? And it's, wait a second, what can I do about this? Nothing cool, move on. And that's
what did your dad do as a vocation?
Yeah, he was a jack of all trades, without a doubt. He was an orphan, so he was adopted. Don't necessarily know too much about that, other than it happened.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. There was one family, the last family he was with, I called them my grandma and grandpa. They were amazing, amazing family. The Schmitz. Kirkwood, Missouri. They had 4 boys and still fostered, and just an amazing, amazing family. But I'll just rattle off a couple. So he worked on a barge. He was an iron worker. He drove a beer truck. He worked for Nexus Hair Products. Yeah, I mean, he's very handy, and most of that is all self-taught, right? So, which is cool. I don't have that.
Yeah, right.
And it's really incredible to watch. I mean, he built a house, like, by himself, a GC. He'd never done it before.
Right.
Awesome.
It was a house after I graduated high school. They built out in High Ridge on 6 acres, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
He still does, you know, handyman work, odds and ends, kitchens and baths.
Okay. So just like self-starter, obviously high motor guy, just kind of running and gunning. And so that
survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a crazy little. So my dad has been shot, I believe, 8 or 9 times.
What?
Different times?
Yep.
Or like?
I would say they're different bullets. But like once was himself, you know what I mean? Like in a deer stand, hit a pistol, shot him in the back of the leg.
Oh my God.
So
how many separate incidents?
He's like 50
several.
Cent.
Yeah, right. It is truly. So
you
when
got
I say he's
so
a survivor,
much cooler just now.
I'm telling my dad is.
No, he didn't. His dad did.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
right. I'm blood. funny story. So going back to the hockey group I skate with.
Uh-huh.
So there's a guy that I've met through that skate, Jason McMahon. Unbelievable guy. And he texts me out of the blue. He's like, dude, is your dad's name Terry? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, our dads hung out as teenagers and stuff. And he's like, he is telling me stories that you would not believe. And I was like, I have to meet your dad.
Right. Because
I want to hear those stories too. And I mean, I've heard some, but I mean, he just was he grew up in rough neighborhoods and,
yeah.
Hung out in pool halls, and that's sure. My mom worked at the hair salon next to the pool hall. That's how they met and all this stuff. So,
we got to have Terry on the show.
Right, this is
amazing. Yeah.
That
would be awesome.
I feel like he wore snakeskin boots and had kind of a long Jerry curl.
At times, yeah, thing. He had that. He's definitely had all that. He's had all that. He was, interesting. He's an amazing person, Yeah, I'd actually love that because just getting those stories out of them, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Huh. I love it.
What would you say is something that trips you up?
I don't know if this is a double negative, not saying no or saying yes.
Sure.
I am known to overcommit
okay.
to things, but either because they sound really fun,
mm-hmm.
or I think it can help.
Yeah, or the people asking are probably pretty important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That one gets me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How do you combat that? How do you...
Working on it.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah, yep. Trying to really think about what I want, and is that something that's getting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is moving there, but I also still believe that there, you have to do things for other people that, you know, because people do stuff for me, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that. So anytime anybody asks me for anything, I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. How can I help?
Yeah.
So what did you give up tonight to come talk to these two dum-dums?
I mean, really, it was a nice night on the couch, right. You know? I was telling Adam when we were, setting up, I'm running hard right now, with both kids in sports and then coaching another team and then work and then just time with them and that and then time with Mary and planning a wedding and all, you know what I mean? Like just all those things.
Yeah.
Going to hockey games, you know, like anytime that came, like, I'm in, you know, that sounds fun. And, and again, getting to know Adam and getting to know you, like it's, I wanted to help out any way I can. I don't know if me being on here as a guest is helping. I think what you guys are doing is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that.
You both being part of a family and Keller Williams, right, that I'm very well in intertwined with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Several great people that we work with in your office.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're really fortunate for that.
We were talking while Jess was late and we were setting up.
Okay.
It's funny because when David was on here, what I told you was same thing for you as David or Nations or Reed. Like, it's still hard to fathom that there are people who just are somewhat unconditional about helping others.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's to your point of when someone does it to you and then you're asked, you're like, yeah, I'm in. Like, I want to do that. I feel like we get to see the genesis of our evolution in that is we've been put in a position to where these people are just pouring into us seemingly for no reason, but really because they just want to see good people succeed.
Yeah. Well, and they get better the more the people they surround themselves with get better.
For sure. For sure. It's just, I think it's cool. Like, you know, you are running and gunning right now. What we were talking about was you're prepping for next year and juggling what your business trajectory is with maybe what suggestions of your business trajectory should be to what you know is tried and true to business planning, you're planning a wedding, you are coaching teams, and then you're like, hey dude, yeah, I want to come on, I want to do it. And I'm like,
are you sure you want to do that?
Like, I hope it's worth your time, man.
Right.
But we are so grateful, like, to have you and just to be like, yeah, I'm in. And,
yeah. Like I said, I love what you guys are doing. I have a little podcast addiction.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say you have a podcast. I'm like, what?
No.
Okay. What are
you? I've thought about one for a while, but I'm trying to say no.
Okay.
Because of the commitment of doing it, you can't stop.
Well,
right?
As David says, it's no for no.
Right. Correct.
You can do it. You just put in other things ahead of it.
Right. Well, and I also like. I would want to know what the goal is, ultimately the goal of it, other than just coming and talking, right? Like, what is... And not, I'm not
I
saying
mean,
that you don't
you
have that.
Were you supposed to start a podcast that way?
So, the goal is actually talking.
To hear yourself talk.
Right, okay.
Which is something we both hate hearing. Ironically, we hate to hear ourselves talk, and we decided, let's start a podcast.
Well, it's mostly other people talking.
I know.
So I listened to the Spit and Chicklets podcast by Barstool, the hockey podcast.
We've heard that a couple
absolutely
times.
Amazing. Hysterical. Absolutely amazing. Hysterical. Obviously, they're talking hockey and what's going on in the hockey world, but the guests that come on and the guests that talk about stories from in their past, and it just absolutely eat it up.
Okay.
So it's on twice a week, and I literally, like, cannot wait for that morning.
Is it the same days?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like...
So they
reminds
have like
a team. Like
oh, they, I mean,
school.
They make. I mean, they have millions of listeners and sponsors. I mean, it's a full time job for. Well, yeah, part time job. I guess.
Right. We have to figure that out.
A little bit bigger than us, I would say. We just got to get somebody to edit this stuff.
For now.
Totally. Okay. What else? Do you listen to any others?
I do.
Are they all narrative? Based like podcast, like interview style, or do you listen to like stories, like Serial and stuff like that?
I have not listened to Serial. Mary listens to several of them. You said these words earlier, but Time Suck.
Yes.
Right, it's good though. I don't know. It's really good. And like I've listened to like the O.J. Simpson Time Suck, and they just go through the history of these things. And and he's a comedian, I guess, that does it. He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
A little time. Sometimes he's annoying, right? But really good. Like, I've learned a lot from listening to a couple of his things in regards to some stories of the past.
Cool.
I listen to some business podcasts, some motivational podcasts, some financial planning podcasts. So,
It must be riveting.
Yeah. No, it's
spreadsheets and P&Ls.
That's why I said financial planning.
Right.
It's truly about getting people to actually sit down and think about what they're trying to accomplish.
Sure.
And then helping build a roadmap to get there.
Yeah.
It's so much behavioral and emotional than it is
logical
and numerical, right? I mean, that all comes and in our digital age, right? I mean, that's not what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can't. We're in front of people. We can't be watching the market. It's happening too fast, right? So we hire money managers and that's what they do, and they've got all their super nerds in the room, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Our job is really being in front of people, finding out what's going on in their lives, digging deeper, asking that third and fourth question to really find out what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then help put them on a path to get there, help them take action.
Well, and I can assume if you know more about them and their families and their dreams and their goals, that helps you look out for them.
1,000%.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we do that all the time, and most people are surprised that you remember their kids' names or that it's their... We just called somebody the other day and was like, hey, I remember it's your anniversary. And they're like, how do you remember it's your anniversary? It's like, well, I showed you a house on your anniversary last year,
right.
And I knew it was around this date.
Yeah.
So just calling to say... don't forget to buy your wife a card and some flowers today. And they're like, holy crap. But like,
I'm sure. Did you say Salesforce?
Right. Well, and I'm sure that you can utilize that in like a more helpful way rather than just, hey, I remember you.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can. If we don't help design their plan, if we create a plan for you, you're never going to own it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
So we have to help you create a plan.
Sure.
And then show you the most efficient ways to get there. And there are several ways to get there, right?
So, but it's so like, I remember when I first met with a financial planner, I don't know, 15 years ago. And he was just, oh, I told you this. We went to lunch and, mm-hmm. and he was like, insurance policy, let me sell you this. And I had no idea. And I was like, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that sounds like good. $150. All right, yep. I'll do it. Life insurance. Let's do it.
Yep.
I had no idea what I was doing because the picture of what I wanted from a retirement or the boys' college fund or, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is just so daunting to where I just didn't even want to like think about what it was. And I didn't have anybody talking to me about like, oh, your kids need to do this and your retirement plan is this and you and Sarah want to buy that. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So to have somebody that is like, let's sit down, let's talk about exactly what your goals are, what your plan is, like
that's
it's gold. Yeah. It's like shooting fish
people
in a barrel.
Don't
people
don't understand it when you propose that idea. Like, what do you mean?
Right.
The last person, I hear this all the time, the last person I worked with was just like, set me up on a
search and open doors.
Cool. Right.
Yeah.
And how happy are you right now? And,
right.
And do you remember their name? You know, I'm sure that, do you find that getting people to sit down with you is the hardest part of the transaction?
It's not a transaction. I know, like, it's a relationship.
Sure.
Right. So we're here to, we win relationships. And getting an initial meeting is, I don't think it's that hard.
Okay.
Right. That's something that comes pretty natural because I don't have an agenda other than really find out what's going on in your life and see if I can bring value.
Sure.
So that's truly what my first meetings look like across the board. It's not really an agenda that I'm selling to sell anything.
Because
we talked about earlier having a business by design. Rachel and I made a commitment before. We do not want to have a meeting on our calendar we don't want to be at.
Oh.
I love that.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, like, we're not going to bring on a client. I don't care how much money they have or how big their business is that we don't want to meet with.
Cool.
Like and that. So it really makes it's not really work,
yeah.
Right? It's something that that's our calling, and we're here to do that because we're good at it.
And you're better at it when you do it with people you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that difficult
you're
to
do? You're
better
at it when you do it with people you care about.
Oh, my God. I hate you.
I know.
I just want you to talk into the frickin' mic.
I'm sorry, everyone.
I know that the fire's throwing you off, but it's time to be a professional. You have a podcast.
Man up. Okay.
Was it hard to do when you were first like building your business?
Totally.
To turn down the
Didn't
shit
do
clients?
Didn't do it then.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Thank God.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
A client anymore, it wasn't because of you.
It's not you, it's me.
Right. No. Well, you when you get started in our business, I'm here to help everybody, right? And everybody needs help in some fashion. But in operating a business, right? I mean, we're not doing it pro bono either. We want to make money doing this, and the way that we can make money doing it, we have to work with certain clients that have certain things or have certain needs, I guess. And so, as I said, you're going on year 9 now. You can start to fine tune one who because before I didn't really have a person, right? But we started realizing who do we like working with, who could we help, and who was in situations that made sense for our practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dialing that in. But then once we got to that point, we just kind of made that commitment because it just
worked.
Yeah.
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 It's important. I mean, we took we took a class with David in the middle of the summer that he was, the whole class was about, like, what are you doing if you don't have a mission statement? What are you doing if you don't, you don't have your value? Like, you can't make a single decision and know you can stand by it until you know why you're doing what you're doing and what your future looks like. So it's easy to be who you are and own a decision when you know who you are.
So you hit on a cool thing, right? So for the first time in my life, I actually wrote our mission statement. I didn't Google mission statements, go to page 4 and take the third one down.
Paint it on the wall.
Right. Or copy. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what every year we'll make a business plan. And
yep.
And you know, so but through learning who we are and who we want and what we're doing, and do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Okay.
So I don't know mine, so
our mission is to excite and influence successful people to take action towards clearly defined goals.
Great.
That's crisp.
Every day, it's all, so we actually made a poster of it.
Cool.
Canva, by the way, best app ever. So we made a poster and it's in our office and we look at it and read it every day because it makes every meeting so much easier. Right?
Yeah.
One, we have to be in front of successful people.
Right.
Okay.
Check. You have to know why you're meeting with them.
Yeah. We have to understand what their clearly defined goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And then excite and influence them to take action.
Sure.
Move the needle.
And if they're not motivated, they're not going to take action. So you have to find the motivated or people that need your help enough to
need, take that action. Need, want, ability.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the need?
Yeah.
Do they want it?
Right.
And do they have the ability?
Right. You can't want it more than they do.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's great.
So yeah. It was truly a game changer because it made everything, every meeting so much easier because if we don't know what your goals are,
mm-hmm.
we can't move forward. We can't.
Yeah.
So we're going to spend however long it takes to really and dig deep to really figure out what do you want.
That's really cool.
And how long did it take you to develop what you guys want? Has it been 9 years, or did you kind of get where you wanted to be 3, 4, 5 years in, and now it's just fine-tuning and tweaking?
I've done a lot of lane changes, I would say, over the past 8 years. But I said today, Rachel and I met today, and I said I haven't been so clear as I am now that we're in the right lane with what we're doing and how we're doing it. It's now just truly about execution, and that feels amazing, right?
Yeah,
We know who our clients are. We know what we're going to do with them, right? And what that process looks like. And so now it's truly just a matter of being in front of the right people on a regular basis and helping them move the needle. And sweet.
Yeah.
How do you measure if you're doing a good job or not? Is it how many people you meet, like, a month, or do they hit their goals, or how long it takes them to hit their goals? Yeah. How do you measure that?
Yep. So there's a book called 12 Week Year.
I just finished it.
Come on. All right. So now are you using it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we implemented 12 Week Year this year, and it was an absolute game changer.
Really?
Cool.
Can someone explain to the PM simply, in the room?
Simply, you look at your goals on a quarterly basis instead of, so to 12 weeks.
You set them
right.
Quarterly. Like, yep. a week is a month, a day is a week. So, like, you like, turbocharge what you do. It doesn't take any more effort.
Nope.
You're just looking at it more.
It's just very difficult to have something going on in January and not be like, okay, well, if I didn't hit that, it's fine. I have 11 more opportunities to do that.
Correct.
We implemented that as a real estate team starting in October for the end of the year.
Awesome.
Like 12, cool. 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, this sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's give it a try. And I had more appointments in October than I've ever had. And October is like the slow month or whatever people say. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, truly, you just read the book. Yeah, so read the book
it.
And then implement the plan. But so I tried it 3 years ago. Failed miserably. Because I complicated it. You know what I mean? If you can make it. I mean, it is a blank slate. So, okay, my goal is this, and then the strategies to get there are this, and this.
Yeah.
And then weekly, you go in and mark which ones you did, and it keeps track and all the stuff. But
right.
I overcomplicated it, so we went back to it and simplified it. Mm-hmm. And I'd hired a business coach a couple of years back, and you hear it in pretty much any book you've ever read or in regards to business, and winners keep score, right?
Yeah.
And so I always fought that, and it's just silly. Why would you fight that? Like,
right.
It's real. And so that's really what it's about. It's, I mean, and my weekly activity, things I need to do, I need to be in front of 4 new people. I need to have 2 discovery meetings where we're sitting down and actually gathering factual data, and I need to get 4 introductions to new people a week.
That's it.
Right.
If I do that every week, everything will be fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it's like I said, being in my lane now and knowing what we're doing, how we're doing it, and then just the numbers that it takes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just have to be in front of the right people, and as I said, like, meeting good people, we're just finding the right fits.
Sure.
So
yeah.
We interview people just as much as they're interviewing us,
mm-hmm.
because it's a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the thing that is the hardest for you to do is maybe saying no. So what types of things have you had to say no to in order to get where you're at now?
That's a... I mean, salaries, right?
Sure.
You know, like, jobs in which,
yeah.
I was not in control of what my future would be, right? So I would say there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like people coming in and saying, I see what you're building, I love what you're doing, why don't you come over here and do it with us and we'll give you
No, I mean, like, not choosing not to build a business, but going working in corporate America.
Right, okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
You know, and make your 100 and get your benefits and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
and be done. I wanted, but be there 9 to 5 and not be able to play golf and not be able to go to my kid's stuff. And all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that's one thing I've said no to because I want this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's a big one.
It's probably the biggest.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we have that.
Have there been any defining moments that make you who you are or help you do what you do?
Well, I guess there's a couple. That's 2 questions. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as defining who you are, I've moved away, and like when you go somewhere and
like
you don't
physically
know
physically
yeah.
Okay.
So like when you go somewhere and you don't know anyone else there,
mm-hmm.
You learn a lot about yourself,
right? Yeah.
Because you can be whoever you really want to be at that time. If you wanted to, I want to change, or I want to be somebody else,
sure.
or all this, but you are who you are. So, kind of in that moment, that's
where'd you move?
So I moved to Montana to play hockey, and then I moved to Arizona to go to school.
Okay.
Both places I knew no one in either state.
Crazy.
So crazy. Yeah, crazy.
Did you enjoy either or both places?
I did. I enjoyed both. It's very, very different. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 19 or 20,
mm-hmm.
when I went to Montana. 19. And then 20 when I went to Arizona. This is next year.
So, like, no family, no friends, no nothing. But you still kind of had this mindset about you, like, what's your strategy? How do you survive? You've said that a couple of times tonight. Like, how do you survive in that setting?
I mean, I think it was a, I don't know if it was like a personal challenge. I mean, the first one was hockey, right? Like I was going up there to play for a team.
Yeah.
So that was a little easier.
Yeah.
Whereas I knew I was going to be put in an area where there was going to be other people that didn't know other people and we're the same age and we're going to bum around and have a good time.
Right.
Arizona was a little different, although I was going to school, so
sure.
I was, so like
you're
I
one
filled
of like
out.
20,000 that didn't know anyone else.
50,000.
Oh, cool. Okay.
ASU was a monster school.
That's insanity.
But I moved in. I had signed up to move into this apartment complex that was on campus, and four people lived in the complex. And you had to fill out, like, I didn't know any of them. So I had to fill out, like, this form, this questionnaire. And I was honest. And so it was like, how much do you study? How much do you party? And I was on
none
the biggest
a ton.
Party. Our building partied hard.
And isn't it was that from like people, a party school?
It is a party school.
Okay.
And
like,
these were
one of the number one
yeah,
party schools
so.
In the
it was
country.
A, yeah, it was a, it, yeah. And it was, I mean, and these are people from all over the country literally pulling in. And so like the first day, what do? If you don't know anybody?
Party.
Throw a party. So I right. bought a keg and brought it back to my place and opened the door. And, you know what I mean? Like that's
yeah.
how we met people. And yeah, it was really cool.
That's fun.
That was neat.
Like
so
that.
What other moving away, any other defining moments in your life that has kind of shaped who you are or defined why you do what you do?
I mean, a couple years into our business, it was a friend of mine's dad, was contemplating retirement, and he came in and we had a conversation. We met with him and his wife, and he was in part in a union, and as we're going through planning, right, like what do you need to have income wise what, you know, all this stuff, and kind of went through everything, and the last question we had for them was, what is health insurance going to cost you? So he had to go into the union hall to get that information, and he got it for us. And we input it, but the letter he got was, if you retire before May 1st, you get X, which was a much higher or better number. And if you after that, you get Y.
Yeah.
And it was a much, you know, worse insurance and so
yeah.
on. And because of the planning that we had done and sat down and ran the numbers for them, we were able to help him retire by that deadline and like truly changed his retirement, right?
Yeah.
Like set
that's
that
amazing.
Up. That was a really cool thing, right?
For
the,
sure.
That was the first time I felt a true impact in what we did.
Right. That's where there
awesome.
Was actual strategy behind a life impact.
Correct. Yeah.
That's super cool.
I wanted to ask you about the things that you do for, you know, we just played in the Frozen Cup, the tournament for the Frozen Cup, and the advocacy that you do for the autism community. I know that Kelly is on the spectrum, and, mm-hmm. and it's something that you're super passionate about. Can you just kind of tell us what you do for that community and kind of why? Obviously, we know why it's important to you, but why you're not just another dad who has been affected by it, but why you're so passionate about giving back to that community?
Absolutely. So I'm passionate about kids, right? Just in general. So this is the 10th year I've done a golf tournament, and
yeah.
every year we've given to children's charities. So before I knew my son was autistic, we helped the Youth in Need organization, which is based here in St. Louis, which helps like homeless kids and kids in bad families or that need places to live, and they do all that for them. So we helped them. We did a Make-A-Wish for a kid, and that was really cool, right? We did Rankin Jordan one year. So I'm very just passionate about kids ever since I had one.
Yeah.
You know, you see what that brings to your life. Mostly joy. but I just, you know, and I think about all the kids out there that just don't get the opportunities that our kids do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I found out that so Steve Albers, who started the Frozen Cup charity, he had reached out to me and we can touch on this later, but I started a LinkedIn group that's really big called Hockey Players in Business.
Yep.
We can circle back to that. But Steve reached out to me through that group, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. Hey, I'm going to do a hockey tournament in St. Louis, and we're going to raise money for autism. And I knew nothing about autism at the time.
Yeah.
I just was like, he's like, will you help me promote it? And, you know, I'm like, absolutely, I'll post it on our website, and I'll play. And so that's how Steve and I met that first year. And then the next year, I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to bring a team. So I got all my buddies that we played together 20 years ago for the St. Louis Junior Blues, and we all came out and we played. I had these sweet jerseys made that are all puzzle pieces.
Oh, cool.
And so we won that year. And then, like, the next year, I think we found out my son was on the spectrum. Crazy.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
And so I immediately joined the board of the organization, and it's still such a question mark, right? It's such a difficult, I mean, you can't really call it it's a problem or a, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a disease. It's not a, you know what I mean?
But it's also so disability. It's so wide ranging.
I mean, you have so such wide
high functioning, low functioning. I mean, it's just, there's no consistency to it.
Correct. And so it's a very difficult thing to talk about. But there's still a lot of things we're learning about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we do know is that it's happening more and more often. And so trying to figure out why that is and what's going on. So when Ashley, my ex-wife, and I, when we found that out, and we started doing research and trying to figure out what was what, and really, I mean, probably in a little bit of denial, right? Like, what is that? And
mm-hmm.
we tried different occupational therapy and speech therapy, and we came across a program called Brain Balance. And a girl that I went to high school with, her sister was a speech therapist and was speaking at about autism at this place called Brain Balance, and I was like, hey, I want to go to that. It's funny because Mary went with me that night. It was like when we first started dating, and I thought she was going to speak about, like, as a speech therapist, and she was actually there to speak because her son was on the spectrum, and he had went to Brain Balance, and this is what she had seen. And so it's all about brain integration training and development. And what they did is they sent Kelly through an assessment, and based on that assessment, they saw, I'm going to guess at the time he's 4 or 5, his left side of his brain was 4, his right side was like 2. So the brain is not able to talk to itself, mm-hmm. right, and communicate, and so there's a disconnect. And that was like the first time like something actually made sense to me. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I can understand that.
Sure.
And a lot of the training, and so we made a commitment to put him through that program. And it was expensive. It was $7,000 for 90 days.
Holy.
Wow.
And we did six months, you know, and right in the middle of our divorce. Like, it was, but it was what was, you know, like, we thought this was a true thing for Kelly. And it truly changed him as a boy. Like, it really helped move the needle towards brain development for him. And so, like, okay, that's something I can get behind. So going back a little bit of the training that goes into that, we would take him to therapy 3 times a week. He would need to go into the Brain Balance Center, and we'd sit in the lobby for an hour with the 2 or 3 year old that's bouncing around the walls.
Yeah.
And then we had to do exercises at home every single day, twice a day. A lot of like yoga poses and things. It was really crazy.
Interesting.
But what they did was, they would restrict the right side of his body. So he would wear an eye patch. They would, like, you know, tape his arm down or whatever.
Yeah.
What else? Like a thing in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And then glasses that blocked his right eye out. Because the left side of the body is controlled by the right side of the brain.
Okay.
Okay, follow me here.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's interesting.
So right? Far, yeah.
So, cool. So when he would do these exercises and all these different things, by this being covered up, it made his left side of his body overwork and his right side of his brain overthink and strengthen it.
Interesting.
Super cool.
Yeah.
And wow, you know, I'm like, holy, like that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it really, I mean, I remember that year with school, I mean, his teachers, when we would do his IEP meetings and everything, they were like, wow, like this is
what
a
did
different
you do?
Kid,
That's
you know?
Cool.
And so I wanted to get that information out. And this year, so Brain Balance is a for-profit organization and they're nationwide. It's super expensive. And granted, they did a great job. But when I met the group from Delta Genesis, they were involved with Brain Balance and then separated, and they honored their non-compete and you know, sat on the sidelines for a couple of years, you know, and didn't do anything here locally. But they want to get this information and this training out to as many people as possible.
Yeah, why the heck not?
Because this is crazy. Like, it's 1 in 88 kids now that's on the spectrum, and we know the science.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't heal it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, sure. Like, but man,
you can really impact
and make a difference. And what's crazy, I mean, about the human body, you think about if you cut your leg and you put a Band-Aid on it and like it grows back.
It heals,
if
yeah.
you can get the brain caught up, it actually will start to get going and communicate and strengthen itself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really cool. So that was, you know, again, I was learning what they're doing, and we were all on board with helping them. So one of the things, so they need a couple things to get going. They need money, right, to get some of the tools and things. The next thing that they need is they need space. So we're going to be on a lookout in anywhere in St. Louis County. They're in O'Fallon, Missouri right now, and they're in a church, which is awesome, but they have a dedicated room that they can keep their things in, and they train kids in there. And so we need to find that space in St. Louis County. And then the money we raise at the golf tournament will be able to help buy the things they need to get this open, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, Steve and I, we always talked about, you know, we'd raise money for the Frozen Cup through the hockey tournaments and the golf tournament. We, on the website, he started a 501c3, and on the website, we just allowed people to submit for grants. You know, hey, do you need money? You're a kid with autism, send your stuff in. And
if we can help, we can.
Correct.
Right.
But that's helping like one or two kids at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talked about how can we make a bigger impact on hundreds of kids, if not thousands of kids, through our efforts. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I know people, and I can throw a party and people come to it,
right,
and donate
give
money.
Some money.
And that's what I can do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's my calling. Like, I know
you can
that
buy
I can do
a
that.
Keg and people will show up.
Yeah.
You've already proven that.
I showed up.
Right.
Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I feel like I fit in, and that's what I can do. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool at the golf tournament and you showed me the video, but I remember when you were talking before the golf tournament, you said, just from today, we're going to be able to impact the ability to open a center that could potentially help hundreds of kids and thousands of kids. And I think similar to in your business where you know your lane, in this effort, you know your lane.
Yep.
You know where you can impact, you know where guys like you and Steve can play a bigger role, as opposed to trying to hold on to too much or the wrong thing.
Right.
So kudos to you.
That's
you guys.
Very
That's
cool.
It's super cool, and it was fun to be a part of. The day was a blast.
Yeah, I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you would be able to be a part of it. I'm hooked them up with a couple of buddies, and I know they had a good time.
It was a good time.
This is the 10th year doing it, so really, like, a lot of people just play every year. You know, it's on their schedule, and
I'm sure they look forward to
it. And they look forward to that one. I try not to disappoint.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Switching gears a little bit. We teased it a little bit before we started taping. Top three movies.
Oh, yeah.
So as I told you, I heard this question from your other two podcasts, and Mary Frances and I, when we first started dating, we actually made a list of our top 10 favorite movies. Mm. So that way we could combine movies, and there might have been two matches, I think, but Step Brothers was one.
Nice.
but so three is difficult. I could probably rattle off 10 or maybe less. Is
sure.
that all right?
Let's try with less.
Okay, try with less.
Right, yeah.
So,
only if. I'm just kidding, I won't say it.
Right, so I love Tombstone.
Yes.
Unbelievable movie.
Yes.
Movie Youngblood is a hockey movie. Catch Me If You Can. I just love Leo's in like three of my top 10.
Right. I see now.
Leo.
What about how many is Tom in?
The Departed.
Great movie.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Great movie.
Yeah.
Probably the most underrated Scorsese film ever.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
It is an unbelievable
Goodfellas
movie.
Is obviously on there. Step Brothers, old school. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on this movie. That's so
bad. You did
bad.
A good job.
Yeah, you and Brosa both have old school on your,
yeah,
your list.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that.
Right. You're my boy, Blue. Why am I... Brad Pitt's in it. It's based in Wyoming or Montana.
California?
No.
Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall.
Yes.
Oh, it's based in Wyoming, California.
Well, they're on a killing spree in
yeah.
California. But Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall.
Never seen it.
Oh, my Lord.
Is he a fly fisher in that movie?
Kind of.
Am I thinking of the right
you
movie?
You
are.
To watch that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to watch that.
Movie.
I'm not going to.
So, yeah. So, I mean, those are up there. Those are all really, really solid movies, favorites of mine.
Awesome.
That's all over the place.
It is. Yeah.
So you just finished or you just implemented this past year the 12-week year?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are you reading right now? Or are you reading something right now?
Mary, I have ordered 10 books in probably the last 4 months.
Oh.
And I haven't opened any of them yet.
Oh, okay.
I've
are you giving
them
away as Christmas presents?
Yeah, Christmas.
I probably should. Yeah. I don't know the name of it right now. I just ordered this book. So going back to my son, Kelly, who's autistic, he's now becoming aware that he's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's, whew.
Yeah.
And so I ordered two of them, one for her, one for his mom and one for myself. And it's, a children's guide to autism and parents too, you know, or something like this.
Yeah.
And it's
sure.
really for us to read with him.
Okay.
So that is there. I can't remember I'm not good with names of books. Like,
me
I don't,
neither.
Yeah. I'm not good with the names of books.
I don't know. I didn't realize there was another person like me out there.
Yeah.
Because we read a book every month, and people are like, what do you read? I don't remember.
Right,
I didn't tell you
yeah.
what it's about.
It's like How to Not Raise Spoiled Kids.
Oh,
I ordered
that's a
good one. That's sitting on there. It's you know, again, somebody yeah. recommended it, and I was like, okay, that sounds good.
I'll
put
that
on my bookshelf.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. A couple of the last ones I've read, Fanatical Prospecting, that helped me really kind of start to figure out like who my targets were and who I wanted to be in front of.
Okay, I need
to
read
really
that.
So that was really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's great.
I'm happy to share my list of books that I will be reading with you, and that way you can...
Yes.
You know, yes.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Check
we'll
in on
it.
You and make sure you're
yep.
doing your homework. Okay, so you play hockey. You
mm-hmm.
coach hockey.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to get ready for a game or a big meeting or something, what do you listen to get pumped up? Like three bands or three podcasts or whatever you would listen to get jacked up?
I think David was like AC, like ACDC.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Van Halen.
Yeah. I mean, if...
Nickelback.
Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple things, right? You talked about a big game or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy, like, I go back to thinking of junior blues days. We had warm-up songs like that we'd play. Literally, we'd come out, warm up, and then go back to the room. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Cool.
First time we could fight, 5 minutes for fighting, back on the ice.
Yeah.
Incredible. And we would play Queen's Fat Bottom Girls during warm-ups. And
love it.
Oh, I mean, I still get the chills because I just remember just skating around and hooting and hollering, right? Just fired up, ready to go. So that was always a good one. And it just takes me back there.
Yeah.
Sure.
With some of my best friends. So there's that. If I have a big meeting coming up or something, I'm probably listening to a podcast of some sort that is reminding me of what's important in this meeting and is not about anything other than the client and what we're trying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I'm really just preparing for that. I love to go to First Watch by myself and eat breakfast, like a really good breakfast before a good meeting.
What do you eat?
Oh, the farmhouse skillet.
What's that?
So it's...
indulge me.
It's, you know, cubed potatoes, bacon, egg, avocado. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, we have a First Watch like so close to the office.
We do?
Yeah.
Where?
In Kirkwood.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the left-hand side there.
I've been there one time, and it was really good. And I got something super healthy, like a Power Bowl or something.
Yeah, they have healthy things.
This is awesome.
They also have the Bacato is a avocado bacon omelet that's really good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'll eat that.
So I like just to kind of just get my mind right.
Sure.
And that always makes me feel good, yeah.
Okay, great. I love it when I ask someone, what do they listen to get pumped up? And they tell me that they eat a good breakfast. Like, I'm into it.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
You're up
your
alley, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right up your alley.
Okay. Do you travel ever or a lot or what do you think?
So, yes.
Okay.
Mara and I love to take road trips.
Cool.
So we went up to Lambeau a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We went to Louisville.
Love it.
Yep. Went to Kings of Leon there and had a blast. We went to Nashville for a Blues game.
Love it.
We just went to Kansas City for a Chiefs Packers. Like, we just love little road trips.
That's cool.
I'm real cheesy. Like, I love to make playlists for the road.
Okay. I love it. All right. So
we do Airbnbs usually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We do Airbnb.
Okay.
Just because we like to stay in a neighborhood, you know, that you normally wouldn't probably
totally
get to know.
So normally when people travel a lot by plane, we ask them their pet peeves when traveling.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, what road snacks do you bring since you drive to these places, I assume? You drive
to
Nashville,
right?
So I
do go on vacation. I do fly. But yes. But
you've never been on an airplane in your life?
A freak.
Breaking news.
Total weirdo.
Runts. Gobstoppers.
Runts?
Yes, dude.
Do you eat the bananas?
Yes, of course you eat the bananas.
Oh,
I don't eat
the
limes.
Those
the limes
are the
limes.
Only
I like the bananas
the
last.
The limes are the worst. The green ones are the worst.
I only
bananas
eat
are
the
by
banana
far
ones.
The best.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And the pink one, little pink, whatever.
It's like a heart. What is it? A strawberry? Does anybody know what it is?
No, it's delicious.
You're a person that eats gobstoppers.
Yes.
Like, I leave
eat
those
them?
In
I,
my
oh,
Halloween
I crunch
candy.
Them. Literally, yes. Yep. Yep.
But hold on.
Why do I
half
like
half of your head is
now?
Fake teeth.
Right, yeah, all these fronts.
You paid
right.
for those.
I did.
Right.
You better be careful,
I usually bite with the back.
Okay.
Who bites a gobstopper?
Yeah.
I'm getting my money.
So
worth.
Yeah, so there's that. I had a really bad addiction to those Starbucks double shots, like the 2x4s and a can of mochas. Oh my lord!
Yeah.
And so that and a package of vanilla zingers was like my go-to for a long time, and I had to stop. Because it's just so not good.
It's like
but
it
was
you
delicious.
Might almost have a heart attack
right.
every trip.
Diabetic
delicious.
Coma, party of one.
So those. I just went on a road trip Saturday with my dad. We went to Columbia. My son Kelly does Taekwondo. It was a Taekwondo tournament. And Mara and I are, trying to get these wedding bodies going. So I had water. And a bag of Doritos.
Oh, okay.
What flavor Doritos?
Cool Ranch, of course.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean,
it's not my one.
That's the number one. It is the number one.
I know it's
but
people's
Blazin'
number one.
Buffalo
it's not
Ranch
mine.
Would be number two.
Mine's just like.
What?
Orange.
Nacho cheesier?
Yeah. No, just normal. Red bag.
That's nacho cheese.
Not cheesier.
Whatever. That the answer is cheesier. I think you need to pick a different Dorito.
I'm not gonna.
You need to explore.
If we
Are you
get
a creature
a fun,
of habit?
For sure. If we get a fun pack, I'm gonna eat all the ones you won't eat.
That's fine. I'll eat Cool Ranch all day. And
I don't know
the
why they have like green and blue specks on them. What is that?
You know what it is. It's ranch.
Right.
Heaven. It's probably plastic, actually.
It's delicious.
But it's the
I've made ranch
delicious.
Before, and I don't know anything blue that goes in it.
Well, the bag's blue, so they might shred the bag and just sprinkle it back on top of the Doritos.
That's hilarious. Okay.
Who's one person that you know that we should know?
Also, we need you to hook it up with Steve Albers to get on the show.
Yeah, I mean, Steve's definitely. So David mentioned Steve on his thing. I mean, Steve is, without a doubt, just such an amazing, amazing person and would be a fantastic interview.
Mm-hmm.
I should just. I mean, I have his number. I should just text him. He'd probably be like, who is this?
Right.
Please stop texting.
So my best friend from high school, Greg Hard, is a really, really, really good guy, interesting guy. So he was the GM at Billy G's since they opened until, 2 years ago.
Interesting.
He's been involved in, he was the youngest GM in Hard Rock history at 21. He was a GM of Hard Rock.
Wow.
Wow.
He's got some good stories.
He's
just
like
a good guy.
Like a ringleader of a circus then.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So he's one.
Where was he at the Hard Rock at Union Station?
He was. He was a assistant manager there, and then I think Detroit was the first one where I actually helped him move up there, and like he opened the Detroit Hard Rock, and then he opened the Louisville Hard Rock, and he opened the Hard Rock Hotel in Chicago. Like it was crazy.
Cool.
Wow.
So good dude, very involved. You know, again, layered, right?
Layered.
He's good. So. I would say help me, right? Because I know my Rolodex is large.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
Help me dive that down. Where's your hot list, right?
So I think what
do you want to know that I know?
Okay. I have to think. We already talked about this. You can't just ask me a question.
Adam
will answer.
Adam will answer.
She can't answer anything right now. She's late. She's already flustered.
Yeah.
Not responding.
I think what. The ideal person for us to get to know is someone that has a level of individual success, not necessarily vocationally, but like understands who they are, why they have gotten to be that way, and is very comfortable being vulnerable enough to tell us why they are who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that we've had on the show up to this point, whether it was you or Debro or Losey or Nations or Kate Chill, Brad Stone, like anybody that we've talked to is extremely comfortable with the road that has taken them to be where they are today.
Yeah.
And it is the exact reason why Jess and I started a show is we are attracted to people both personally and professionally that are unapologetic about who they are and what it took to get there.
Yeah, I mean, that's Steve.
It's Steve.
Everything you said is Steve Albers.
It is Steve. And I mean, we were joking.
Tyler Layton is actually another one. So Tyler's a chef at Twisted Tree. Mm. Obviously came over and prepared
phenomenal.
An unbelievable meal.
Yes,
melted
phenomenal.
Your faces. Right? His his talent level is unbelievable. Again, has realized that and has welcomed it and owned it and is... So he's one. Bob Brazell. So Bob owns Bird and Barrel.
Awesome.
Also Tam Avenue Grill. I just saw that he is now taking over the Tenderloin Room.
Yeah.
In the Chase, which
crazy.
Is just unbelievable.
I mean, that's...
Him and his squad are like... really doing some amazing things in St. Louis, and I've known Bob for a number of years. I mean, mean, he's somebody, again, just good people that are owning their, you know, have found their calling and owning it and leveling up.
That's a really, I think that's really interesting because, like, the Tenderloin Room is so much history and class, and it's at the Chase, and I love Bird and Barrel. I haven't been to Tam, but I get their style. It's the antithesis of what always has been. So I wonder what their...
You spell antithesis?
Harry probably could. He spelled reconciliation earlier.
Right.
I was a spelling bee champ of Holy Family in grade school.
Okay,
what?
Well, there was probably 11 people in your class, and what was your...
Well, it was the whole
what
school.
Was your word?
What was the word?
Please, E before A, except after C.
That's totally the thing. Where did you go to school?
Magdalene, and I was last in all the spelling bees.
Right. Don't knock me.
So do you know
right.
this, by the way?
Oh, yeah, please.
What? So we grew up, what, a different 100 block
away
from each other?
200 Where? Blocks away
so
from each other.
So I was 4,400 block of Neosho.
No.
And I was 54.
Yeah.
So he was...
And Brosso, or not Brosso, and
it's
Kittner.
It's not 10 because there's 6 that are missing.
6,600 or 6,400.
Of course she was.
Right. I thought you were going to say Brosso. I'm like, Brosso grew up on the 6,600 block of
Laval.
Maple syrup.
Laval.
Avenue. Laval.
Right. But yeah, so Kittner,
there's 6 blocks missing.
Kittner,
on
Bundren, Lewandowski.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
What a rough crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
I was on the other side of the tracks.
You were. Right.
Other side of Kings Highway. But oh, yeah, I mean, I gosh. Thought that was cool when we first met.
That is
finding
very
that out.
Cool.
Yeah.
What were we saying? Okay. I still think, I'm going back to what I said, I think that guy would be cool to talk to because you have to... A, know what you're doing, but also be pretty adventurous to take over the Tenderloin Room.
Yeah.
One of the thing, and agreed, about Steve Albers, we talked about this one of the first times we had met. So I got to meet Steve mm-hmm. 18 months ago or whatever. David brought us there to the to Center Ice yeah. Brewery to meet him. And I kind of looked him up on YouTube. He... So one of the things that I'm fascinated about and jealous of people that document their journey is the fact that they are documenting things that aren't the successes.
Yeah, not their wins.
It's not like, we've made it, now we're going to document a bunch of stuff. Like, Steve started
we
doing it when he
property.
Was in his basement.
We lost it on another property.
Yeah, like, it was unreal. Like, he was bathtubbing beer.
Yeah.
And yeah. trying to figure out what he was going to do with his life, and then literally vlogged it until today, where he
yeah.
is in stores and like.
And I'm sure there's so many people that watched that and were just like, go you. You're doing the right thing. No. I'm sure there's everybody who's like, what the hell
you're
is
an idiot.
He doing? Why is he documenting this? Why is he okay
right.
with
Quit
looking?
Quit stirring beer in your... sink, weirdo.
Put some pants
go
on.
Go to work. Get a job.
Hey, didn't right. they have like a baby? Like
yeah,
while
two.
He was
two.
Yeah.
two
I know very that. Little about it, but still, like, I know what happened because he documented it all.
It is yeah. like the dichotomy of what our
we
show
wish we were.
Is about. Like the fact that like
yeah,
there, you just go through a bunch of sludge to get to where you are. Like it's fascinating to, and what a cool thing to document that. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, what's something that you wish that we would have asked you that we didn't ask you?
Yeah. What are we missing here?
So I thought you were going to ask me about Adam. So we can,
Adam.
You know, so last, not this, so last year, my best friend committed suicide.
Oh,
and
God,
so,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So that was, you know, just... losing. I'm not trying to like kill the mood on the whole thing,
no,
but like
you're not.
It's mental illness is a real thing, and you know, so
yeah.
I mean, again, is that's the problem with today is we can't talk about it and don't talk about it, right? It's become this stigma that, you know, I mean, even more so as men, right? Like we're not
sure.
supposed to be sad or be depressed or be down or, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
just like it's we're supposed to just suck it up and swallow it and toughen up, and so that was one thing, and I mean, again, it's not, I want to bring positivity to that, right, and just let people know that, man, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, call your buddy. Like, call your buddy.
Right.
Cry on a shoulder. It's okay. You know, because you learn some things after that. Like, there was a saying I heard that, like, suicide doesn't take the pain away. It passes it on to everybody else.
Yeah.
And, like, that, there isn't more truth than that. Right. Sure. And so, you know, that was something that was crazy. But, you know, also I've become a lot closer. Nobody has ever replaced him or my love for him or friendship or anything like that. But people have come closer into my life because of that. And so those are positive things there. And actually more open, you know, which is really cool. Really cool.
That's so awesome. when we had the opportunity to have dinner in his honor a few months ago, and you spoke a lot obviously that night about Adam and the effect that he had on you, and we all kind of actually got to hear, for better or for worse, the story of behind it, and it was a very public thing that happened, that you were somewhat a face that was kind of given to that entire journey. How has that affected you as a person? How has it affected you as a dad, as you know, someone that is an influencer of men with the hockey team? And you know, you and David have dealt with suicide again on a very personal level within your own circle, you know, with the hockey squad. Like, how has that shaped your ability to handle those situations or those conversations with people that you're trying to mold?
I mean, still figuring it out.
Sure.
You know, the minute it came up again, it just opened me right back up. I learned a little something about grief I'd love to share.
Sure,
we'd love to.
So, and I mean, I found it online. Google's an amazing place, right?
Yeah.
But it talked about a if you picture a box, right? And there's a button inside that box, and that button is a pain button, right? When you first go through trauma or go through something like that, the ball inside the box is really big. So it's just hitting that freaking button. And over time, that ball gets smaller. Button's always there, and every once in a while, it's going to hit it, and it's going to open you up, but it happens less and less. That helped me a lot, right? Sure. Like, that was like, oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. You know, like, one, it's okay. It's the pain's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Just not in the front, you know, you're not going to. So there's that. Just really trying to spend time with people on an individual level and just really take their temperature. You know, we go through life pretty, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm great, man. How are you?
Yeah.
You know, which is just so.
If someone answers, like, it's like from Ellen's stand-up, if you're like, I'm fine, you're like, wait, what? I didn't know I was going to have a conversation with you now.
Right, yeah.
It's, you're not fine.
right. I have to go.
I didn't mean to ask the question. Right. I was just being nice, right? But I think just really, you know, either grabbing a phone call with a friend or, you know, just one, you know, how are you really doing? You know, and asking maybe that second or third question. I think that's you know, that's been good. I think opening up about your own feelings and where you're at with people is important. You know, just leaning on people, right? Like I now I offer myself up. Like, people, I used people.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going full circle back to our original part of our conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like, people
yeah.
help me, and I want to help, right? Because
right.
like, and so I always want to offer that up too. Like, man, I'm here because people were here for me.
Sure.
And I have to, you know, we just continue to pay that forward, right? So all of those things, man, it's a scary thing, right? Because what is this, this dark cloud that comes over you that, like, literally takes all of your natural, like, thought process and logic out and just, you know, and that's scary. That's really scary.
Yeah.
People, you know, that have been a part of my life that's happened to, like, I just would have never thought that. I would never. So that's scary. You know, he's someone I knew extremely well. So I think that's those things are, you know, it's all just awareness, right?
Yeah.
You know, trying to, you know, one thing with having an autistic child, or I mean, suicide rates are up, you know, with that scenario because of, again, they just disconnected and feeling lost and challenged and frustrated and all that. So that's scary, right? So like, I never want to think that. So I spent a lot of time, you know, talking to both my kids about, you know, just life and challenges and, you know, where to find happiness and passing on my dad's, you know, information that he shared with me, and that's, or life lessons or wisdom, whatever we want to call it, right? And that's, you know, try not to sweat over things that you don't have control over.
Sure.
That's a long-winded answer to your question, but
no,
those are all the things that I've, you know, it's okay to cry. It's a big one.
Thank God.
I've really turned into us, you know, like, I mean, it but it's okay. You know, like, I'm totally okay with it. So, I found that probably, like, just the exposure that my heart has now, right? Both from sadness and happiness, you know. Mm-hmm. My little guy scored his first hockey goal on Saturday. I was literally, like, holding it back.
Line change.
Hold it back, you know. But again, just awesome, you know, just incredible. The day before, Kelly was in Taekwondo and got 5 medals at his deal. And, like, the joy you would have saw on this kid's face. Like, I'm opened up. My dad's opened up. My ex-wife's opened up. We're all just crying. Like, I mean, it's just incredible, right? But that's, like, that raw joy, right? Like, that's really cool, too. There's a lot of... Of course, there's a lot to be negative about, but man, there's so much more to be positive about. And if we can kind of really focus on those things and, what do we do right and try to do more of that and less of what's wrong, like, we'll all be pretty good.
Right.
And if you, you know, go really full circle and you build your life by design and you make sure that you have the time to do the things that bring you joy and are the most meaningful for you, then... You can't not have a happy life.
Right. Yeah,
we're still working on
try to pencil happiness in your life,
that,
right?
Like, but
yeah.
That's pretty great advice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So how can, well, two things. How can someone get a hold of you if they're interested in sitting down with you to talk about financial planning? One. And then two, how can someone contribute to what Steve and you are doing with the Frozen Cup and with the advocacy that you guys have currently with, you know, the efforts that you have?
Yeah, awesome question. I'm going to get my phone number out over the podcast.
You don't have to get your phone number out. You don't, but
I mean, I don't care. Like, listen, you can find my number. You know,
text me, I'll give you his phone number.
Exactly, yeah. you know, I think... I'm pretty easy to find as long as you spell my last name. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn is always a good one. As far as the Frozen Cup goes, so it's Frozen Cup STL .com, and you can go on the website and you can donate. You can find out about our events. You know, that's a great place as well. So.
Awesome.
Okay. Dude, thank you so much.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is
great. Very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
This fire is incredible.
Great to get to know
I know.
You. Sarah, oh my God, good job.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a little fire before she got out here, but I like to think that I built
each
the
other.
I like to think I built the base of it.
Right.
You did. Yeah.
Whatever I got to tell myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, Shannon, thank you, brother.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Appreciate
thank
you. You. No, thank you.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.
you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.